Well, 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 we are back. I am here. I'm Billy Hollowell, and I'm here with Lucas Miles, and we are here for the Talking Thunder show. I'm super excited about this. Lucas, are you happy to be back?
Hey, I'm always happy to be back, and we had so much fun on the last show that we did this with, and I'm just excited to be talking Sons of Thunder here this morning.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great time on Vindication, a lot of laughs, a lot of fun plot lines and diving into the show. And now we get to do it for Sons of Thunder Redemption. And you know, this is a show for those who have not watched it yet, by the way, go and watch it because it's on PureFlix and you can check out the first two episodes that you'll be able to stream right now. But here's the deal with this show. This is a spinoff show, right? You had Sons of Thunder. That was a show that was already on PureFlix, popular show. Now this is Sons of Thunder Redemption, and it's a whole new storyline that is really captivating for a lot of reasons. We're going to get into all of that today, but for those who don't know, just kind of a little bit of a quick recap here. If you've watched the episodes, this will be clear to you. If you have not, you'll remember Simon from the first series. Simon is sort of connected here in this one because he meets this guy, Jacob, in prison, ministers to him, and Simon spends some time working near the jail afterward, was visiting Jacob, bringing him the gospel, actually gave him a Bible, and Sons of Thunder Redemption picks up with Jacob. It's Jacob's story, and you know he comes out of jail at the start of episode one, and Lucas, you're a pastor, so I've got to ask you this because for me, as I'm watching him leave prison, I'm thinking, well, what did he do? Why was he there? I want to know all these things, but I'm thinking, huh, you know, is he gonna be reformed? Because we don't know anything about him in that moment. Now, a lot of people are skeptical of, you know, when people come out of prison, are they going to be able to change their lives? You hear a lot of skepticism on that. So I wanted to kind of throw it to you, what you were thinking while you were watching that and what you've experienced, you know, in real life with people who have maybe gone through that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, a great question. And I think something that pastors and really Christians of any kind, you know, are going to face and families go through this as well, you know, the same thing, you know, wondering, is this person really changed? Is this going to last? There was actually a situation I had here recently where had an individual that came into our ministry and, you know, was telling me a little bit about some of their checkered past. And I could tell that they were in a position where they really needed help with some things. And my typical rule is I want to see somebody show up more than once before I just am going to go all in terms of helping them. I mean, obviously, if the Lord speaks something different to me, you know, I'm going to act on that, you know, the best that I can. But I want to make sure that this isn't just, you know, somebody playing the system or somebody looking for, you know, a way to get a handout, but they really have that kind of changed attitude and changed mind. And I think that's something that, you know, even as an audience member watching the show that we're wondering too. I mean, so far, you know, there seems to be some legitimacy in Jacob that it's believable, but you wonder as the show builds and maybe, and again, you know, we've not seen beyond this episode. So, you know, are there going to be situations that he's put in that's going to try that conversion that he had?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that really stood out to me. He immediately, you know, pushes back as soon as he gets out of prison on this whole devil's hand. This is the gang that he was a part of, it seems. And he pushes back on it. He doesn't seem to want any part of it, which is a good sign, right? Like if you're trying to change your life, maybe don't go back to the people you were around or the people who are trying to lure you back in, because that's the quickest way to fall back into old habits. And the thing that was the first thing. The second thing that struck me is that he goes to visit, you know, and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, but he goes to visit his ex-fiance, Sandy. He goes on this mission to find her in California after he gets out. And you quickly learn that he has destroyed this relationship with her. And it clearly happened a long time ago because she had a husband who passed away. And he learns all this information when he catches up with her. But it really, you know, made me think about second chances. He wanted to make amends. At least that's what he's telling us. And I'm assuming we're to believe that's true. And when you kind of juxtapose that person, like who he is, trying to avoid the gang, trying to, you know, make amends with Sandy, you start to see like maybe there's some real fruit here, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, she has a very, I would think, a natural reaction to this guy just sort of like all of a sudden showing back up in her life. In fact, she's probably even more gracious than a lot of people would be, you know, with that, in that, you know, she kind of lets him come to dinner and these things with the family there at the Gipsit Ranch. And so I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, if his intention is to try to win her back, or if he is, you know, just really trying to make amends, you know, that's, it's kind of too soon for us to know that yet. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes forward.
Yeah. I mean, she seemed, you know, overjoyed, and I'm being sarcastic there, that he was going to be taking on a job there. Like, he was going to be staying there at this, you know, at the ranch, at the Gipsit Ranch, and because that's where she is. Right. So now, like, there's kind of this interesting parallel running from the past. He's running away in a positive way from the negative things in his past, but yet running toward the things he wants to make amends for. And that's a really fascinating juxtaposition, just trying to kind of right the wrongs that maybe we've had in the past, and knowing that it takes a lot of humility to do that, to show up and to say to somebody, I'm here to say I'm sorry, especially when you learn. I mean, it sounded like he was hitting on the maid of honor at their wedding, right? There's all these horrible things that went on. And to your point, like, she, it's such a human reaction, because her reaction to him is, you're a mess. Like, the last time she saw him, right, he was a mess. And so in her mind, that's who he is. But yet he's got this Bible. He's walking around. He's saying his life has changed and he's there to make amends. It is really powerful when you think about that. Man, the guy showed up, and I'm hoping, you know, you're kind of rooting, like, maybe if it's all true and he truly is good, she's going to come around to it.
And you know, this is probably the first time he's ever shared his faith. He's ever, you know, really had to, like, walk in these things. He's been probably sitting in prison meditating on this, for all we know, you know, about how this is going to go down, about how he's going to do it, about what he's going to say. And now here he is actually putting that into practice, you know, for the very first time. And it's hard enough, you know, sharing your faith or being open with these things when you've been doing that in your whole life. And so I can't imagine, you know, just really kind of stepping out for that first time. But I think that there's a lot of people who've been in that position, and certainly most of us have, at least at some point, you know, we had to do it for the first time. And I think that, you know, they've handled that well. And of course, you know, we need to mention that there's just a great cast on this show. You know, and really, multiple names that people are going to recognize, people like Christy Swanson. And I was really excited to see Lorenzo Lamas, which we need to talk about him, because his character's introduced, you know, here on this first episode. And I was a huge fan of Lorenzo Lamas when I was younger. He had a show called Renegade, which I don't know if you've ever, yeah. Was that before your time, Billy?
No. Okay. I remember. Yeah.
And it was a motorcycle show. And so, it's interesting. So,
full, you know, circle.
Yes, full circle. So here he is. And so, yeah, it's just, I think, going to really, it's building to be just a great show with a lot of really exciting themes for us to go through.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm waiting for my Doris. I need to find a Doris. You remember that was my favorite.
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
I'm like, who's going to be my Doris in this show?
I kind of feel like, so far, I mean, and we just saw, and I can't remember this guy's name, but there was the younger biker who went out looking for Jacob, who was sent out by the boss. And I feel like that there's something there that we got to keep our eyes on.
Well, it's good. Yeah, that's sort of the underpinning, right? You've got the bigger arc is what we're talking about, with all these relationships and with Jacob. And then you've got, you know, the Devil's Hand gang. It seems like they're out. Like, he doesn't want them, but they want him back. And if he's not going
to come
back.
You used to be a member of that gang, didn't you?
Yes, I was. I'm no longer a member in good standing, though. So, you know, it's...
Well, I'm glad you got out.
Out of the two of us, I don't know who would be more likely to be in the Devil's Hand.
Have you ever ridden a motorcycle?
Have you ever ridden? I've not ridden.
I have ridden on the back of a motorcycle through the streets of Kakamega, Kenya. That was the only time.
Wait. I'm picturing now you on one of those little sidecars, like, with a helmet on.
That's about how it was. It's not too far off.
That doesn't count as riding a motor. I mean, you were on a motorcycle, but you weren't driving it.
This is true.
Give that to you. But yeah, no, I'm interested to see, like, what happens here, right? Do they get him? Do they come out? Like, I don't know. There's going to be drama there for sure. There's a lot of drama all around. But, you know, I don't know. I found a couple of verses that I thought were really interesting. Just, it made me think, like, Mark 3:28, right? We can be forgiven for any sin, for any slander. And it's so easy when you look at somebody. We all have people in our lives who are like Jacob, who have done things to us, right, to different degrees and different levels, that have left us really upset. And if we haven't had, we have to find forgiveness in our own hearts. That's on us, right? But it's really hard to let people like that back in, right? It really is.
Trust is a hard thing to rebuild, and I think in many cases it almost feels impossible, and certainly impossible without the Lord. And I think that you know, we're really going to see this play out of what does it look like? What does grace look like? What does forgiveness look like in some of these relationships? How do you know if somebody's actually changed? And really, how do you protect yourself and your own heart while still giving people the opportunity to, you know, to grow, to fail, et cetera. And so I think these are just real themes that all of us are dealing with all the time in our relationships, you know, with people around us. And so I think that there's a lot to take away here.
Also, you know, it's easy to kind of focus on, oh, you know, that person, you know, they did me wrong, and we focus on that. But maybe it's a good opportunity, just as we're like watching this show, to think, okay, who, and maybe it's not big things like what Jacob did, but who do we need to be asking for forgiveness for and apologizing to? I'm sure there's things we've done. So it's good to think about that on both ends, because I think the human condition conditions us to think more about ourselves and how we've been wronged. And yet, you know, you look at Mark 3:28 again, anybody can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. Maybe there's somebody listening who's, you know, struggled because they're like Jacob and they haven't gotten to that place yet where they can, you know, go out and just say the simple, I'm sorry. You might not get the reaction you want. I don't think he got the reaction he wanted from Sandy. Do you?
I mean, no, I don't think so. He probably had this all played out in his head of she was going to go, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. And that's water under the bridge. And, you know, I'm so glad to hear that you've been changed and transformed, you know, and obviously she was a lot more guarded than that. And really even put off in him showing up.
Yeah, like couldn't stop huffing. I felt like every time you played, he was huffing. So, all right, I want a prediction from you. What do you think? And I mean, it's episode one we're talking about here, so who knows? But what do you think happens? Do they strike up a relationship again? Do they part ways?
I mean, I'm optimistic that that they're going to find some true love here. That this is going to be part of their story and their testimony. You know, obviously there's some stuff going on there at the Gibson Ranch that I think we're still learning about. That's probably going to play a role in this. And I got to think that, you know, he's able to lead at least one of these bikers to the Lord. The question is it the big boss? Is it the young guy coming to him? Or does he have a setback where they kind of pull him in, at least even momentarily, you know, back into that life, or put him in some sort of impossible situation where he's, you know, tried? We don't know. And so I think there's a lot of stuff to really anticipate as we go forward.
I mean, no one should listen to us because we were completely wrong about Doris, but this time maybe we will be right.
Were we?
Who's in the body bag? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. For me too, I'm thinking about the Gibsons. Like, is there stuff we don't know about the Gibsons? They seem very nice and they're making, you know, lunch for people and they're, you know, talking about their ranch. They obviously have had some heartache, but, you know, is there a secret there? I don't know. I'm curious. I always wonder about these characters, and then I'm usually wrong, but we'll have to, I guess, wait and see what happens.
I love it.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for Talking Thunder, which I love the name of this show, by the way. We're going to be doing this. You know, you can come back every week and you can listen to us talk through the show, hear the main themes, and make sure you head over to PureFlix and watch Sons of Thunder Redemption. Lucas, as always, it was a joy.
My pleasure.